Good morning, everyone. Finish up the third parak of Zvachim this morning, and we'll begin the fourth parak of Zvachim. Today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin. We have a little bit more to go just to finish up our third parak. Our last Mishnah that we saw yesterday introduced us to a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda. The third parak of Zvachim took us through a tour of Pigel, through the prohibition of Pigel. And Rav Yehuda feels that there's something to add to that list as well. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that if you have a machshava that when you shech the karban, you're going to be maniach the blood, you're just simply going to leave the blood there. In other words, you're not going to eat a chutzas mano, you're not going to eat it chutzim kamo, you're just going to leave the blood there. So Rav Yehuda says that's a poso, that's going to disqualify the karban. That cheats Rav Yehuda. The Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim say no, that's not a machshava the apostles. In fact, the Chachamim said in the Mishnah started on Lamed Hamad Beis, Chachamim said, look, we only have a limited number of machshavas that actually disqualify an animal. Number one, the machshava of chutzas mano, which is pigel. Number two, the machshava of chutzim kamo, which is a disqualifier. And number three, a machshava of shinui kodesh, fly, karm pesach, and karm chatas. And that's it. And there's nothing else that is subject to disqualify the animal. There's no other machshava that disqualifies the karban. Yes, other machshavas will affect the karban, but in terms of disqualification, there's not going to be any other machshava that disqualifies. Good. That's Shitas Chachamim, and that's the position that we adopt la halacha. What's the svar behind Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda says that if you shech the karban with the thought of just leaving the blood there, and you're saying, I'm not going to sprinkle the blood today, I'm just going to leave it here. So what's the thought process behind that? So the Gemara says, the Gemara yesterday started by quoting Pesukim. And then the Gemara says, no, really, it's a svara. Rav Yehuda offers the following argument. Look, if you do it, the karban's not going to be good. If you think about doing it, the karban's also not going to be good as well. Okay? So in other words, basically, Rav Yehuda says that whatever actually turns into a disqualified karban, thinking about doing that as well is also going to turn into a disqualified karban. You know that if you shech the karban today and you leave the blood and you don't sprinkle the blood, so that's it. You lost your opportunity of sprinkling the blood. You only have till the end of the day to sprinkle the blood. So Rav Yehuda says, good. If you think about doing that as well, you also disqualify the karban as well. Again, we don't possibly like Rav Yehuda, but that is Shitas Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says it's built on a svara. We're in the very last line of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. We're just ironing out some Shitas within Rav Yehuda, right? The Gemara spent a lot of time yesterday trying to figure out, are there any other cases in the Mishnah that he would disagree with? Meaning, the Mishnah gave a whole series of machshavas ra'os, bad machshavas. And Rav Yehuda, does he argue in any of the other cases? So yesterday the Gemara went through each case in the Mishnah to see whether or not Rav Yehuda would argue in any of the other cases. In other words, is Rav Yehuda going to disqualify a karban if, let's say, for example, instead of sprinkling on the top of the Mizbeach, he sprinkled on the bottom of the Mizbeach? And so the Gemara basically said there's no other case in the Mishnah, really, that Rav Yehuda would agree to, would argue to, because he feels that these are not disqualifiers. On the last line of the page, Rav Yehuda, we last said, says that if you shech the karban bedarim, right, the chatas and ola has to be shechted in the north. What if you shechted not on the north side of the Mizbech, but on the south side of the Mizbech? So Yehei Chayef, Rav Yehuda said yesterday, one of the last things that we left off Rav Yehuda saying, is that if you shech a karban in the south, you're going to be Chayef. Chayef for an improper shechita. The Hatanya, but the Gemara says, but we know in the Braisa, Rav Yehuda, Omer Yachol Chata Sheshachta B'dar Miei Chayev. Tamar Lama, Lo Sizbach LaHashem Lokecha Shor V'seh Kol Davara. Al Davara Ata Mechayva V'yata Mechayva Al Chata Sheshachta B'darim. This Braisa has Rav Yehuda saying the following. There is a prohibition in the Torah of shechting, but that's Davara, meaning if the animal is blemished. So if I take a blemished animal and I shecht a blemished animal, that's a lav. That's a negative prohibition. You're going to be chayev. But if I take an animal that's qualified and I just shecht it in the wrong place in the Azara, i.e. the south side of the Mizbeach, so you're not going to be chayev. You didn't do good. In other words, you didn't do as commanded. But you're not going to be chayev because there's nothing intrinsically wrong with the karban. It's the location which is wrong. So the Gemara answers very simply, Tretanai Aliba de Rav Yehuda. Okay, so the Gemara says, look, we have differing opinions in terms of what Rav Yehuda says, in terms of shechting an animal on the south side of the Mizbeach. Amar Rabbi Abba. Umod Rav Yehuda shechazav ekovel apigol. Okay, Rav Yehuda, look, we know in our Mishnah that according to Rav Yehuda, if you have a machshava of lahaniach, of to just to leave the blood, So I say when I shech the animal, I'm shechting the animal, I'm going to just leave the blood here, and I'm not sprinkling the blood today. So according to Rav Yehuda, the apostles. Okay. You're not going to be chayev kares, it's just apostle, it's just a disqualifier. So Rabbi Abba says that Umod Rav Yehuda, here's what Rav Yehuda will concede. Shechozer v'kovo lepigol. That look, if let's say in a subsequent avoda, you have a machshava of chusuz mano. So in other words, so for the shechita you say a machshava of lahaniach, and then for a subsequent avoda you say, and while I'm doing the zrika, and I'm going to eat the meat of the karban 3 days from now. Okay? So Rav Yehuda will agree that you can get to a point of pigol. Okay. That's a big chiddush. Meaning, again, we're really having a discussion in the sheet of Rav Yehuda, which we don't follow the halacha, but just conceptually, it's a big chiddush. Because as we've been saying, it's pretty much been our mantra since the beginning of the third parak. When it comes to pigol, there can be no ta'arovis. There can be no mixture of any other machshava. Meaning, in order for it to be pigol, it has to be only a machshava chutzlus mano. Period. That's it. And there could be no other machshava. And what the Gemara now is entertaining, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have a machshava of lahaniach, which according to Rabbi Yehuda is a disqualifier, later on in the subsequent avoda, if you have a machshava of chusuz mano, so then it's going to be eligible for pigo. So at first the Gemara would like to support this position. Amar Rav Teda, the pigol of nezrika lo klumi, vasya zrika bekavala pipigol. Yeah, I think that's right. Because you know that before Zrika, there's nothing. Meaning there's no pigol. And after Zrika, it becomes pigol. So the Gemara says, so you see that Zrika is so important and so critical. So the Gemara says, Velohi, that's not an argument. It's not a good argument. You're right, of course Zrika is important. Of course Zrika is critical. But as we've been saying since the beginning of the third parak, it has to be chara machshava, it has to be one machshava of chutzuz mano. You can't mix in another machshava, according to Rav Yehuda, the machshava of lahaniach, together with the machshava of chutzuz mano, and result in a machshava of pegel. Good. Eish vei Rav Huna l'Rabbi Abba. In addition to that, the Gemara now is just going to challenge Rabbi Abba. Li teinas anitanim lamala, lamata, lamata, lamala, le'alter kosher. This brisa, which we have already seen earlier in the Masechta, about 10 days ago, this brisa discusses the following. We've already talked about how this brisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Let's work our way through the brisa. Let's say that when I shech the karban, I say that, look, I know the blood belongs on the upper portion of the mizbech. It's a chatas, right? I know it does. I'm going to sprinkle it on the lower portion of the mizbech, but I'll do so today. Or opposite. I know it belongs in the lower portion of the mizbech, but I'm going to sprinkle on the top, la'alter kosher. Okay, so it's kosher. Meaning, despite the fact that you have thoughts about other places of the mizbech, the braisa says that's fine. Chazer v'chishev chutzim komo, pasol, v'ein bo kares. If then, subsequently, you say, I'm going to eat a chutzim komo, that's pasol. Chutzlas mano, pigo v'chayav and alav kares. And then if I think about chutzlas mano, or if I think about chutzlas mano, so now I've made it eligible for pigol. Right. Because the first machshava you had was nothing. Meaning, it was inappropriate, but it wasn't incorrect. To sprinkle the blood on the wrong place of the mizbeach, as we've learned earlier, according to Rav Yehuda, right, ena makamo kim kamo. In other words, that's fine. That's not the end of the world. So now that you have one, quote-unquote, bad machshava of chutzlas mano, so now you set it up for pigol. Lemachar pasol. Okay, how about, let's go back to the first machshava. Instead of saying like this, I'm going to sprinkle on the wrong place of the mizbeach today, that was the first case in the braisa. Let's say he says, I'm going to sprinkle on the wrong place of the mizbeach tomorrow. Okay, so pasol. Chazer v'chishev ben mechutz lezmano ben lechutz mkoma pasol v'ein bo kares. And then, afterwards I have a machshava of chutz lezmano, so it's not eligible for pigol. So what do you see over here? You see over here, essentially, his first machshava was a machshava of lehaniach. That was the first machshava that he had. The second machshava was a classic machshava of chutzuz mano, and it's not eligible for kares. Rabbi Abba started off the discussion by saying, no, that second machshava of chutzuz mano can make it eligible for pigol. Tiyufta de Rabbi Abba tiyufta. Okay, so the Gemara says, you know what? Right, you're right. The only conclusion is that we don't accept Rabbi Abba. It's not correct. If you have a mixture of two different machshavas, it no longer becomes eligible for pickle. Next. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ravina Bar Sila, Chisha Sheyachlu Tameh Mamachar. Chayav. What if your machshava was, it's going to be eaten tomorrow? We're talking about a carbon that should not be eaten tomorrow, so it's Chutzah Zmano. And but tummy people are going to eat it, so chayev. You've made yourself eligible. That's pigel. So I'm a Rava Teda, and Rava says, look, I'm going to show you that that's correct, even though it's very strange. Of course, we're talking about a consumer who really is not allowed to consume. Somebody whose tummy is not allowed to eat the carbon, still that registers as a machshavas pigel. Rava says, I'm telling you that that's correct. Why? The basal of nezrika lo chazev v'chim echashe bei mifso. So and again, Rava offers an argument. Which is, goes something like this. Well, you know, before Zrika, you're not allowed to eat it. And yet, nevertheless, a machshava before Zrika will render it pigle. So you see that even though it's quote-unquote not edible, it is eligible for pigle. The Gemara says, again, that's not a good argument. Velohi, hasam zarek umechzeh. What do you mean? Zrika over there allows it to be eaten. Hachal umechzeh klal. But over here, when you make the statement, I'm not going to eat it, but tomorrow, tummy people are going to eat it. Tummy people are never allowed to eat it. Okay. So again, the Gemara doesn't seem to accept that as well. Amar of Chista, one more to go before we finish the perek. Margala bepume de Ravdimi bar Chinana. Ravdimi bar Chinana had the following pearl in his mouth. Right? He had a smart saying, a bright expression. Bisar Pesach shelo hutzlo. Look, we know that when you're tame, you're not allowed to eat karban. In fact, we know that if you're tame and you eat karban, you're chayev kares. Right? Eating karban kodesh in a state of tuma is one of the chiyuve kares. That's what we know. What if the karban that we're discussing really is not allowed to be eaten? For example, karban pesach. Karban pesach has to be roasted. Karban pesach is not roasted, you're not allowed to eat it. Right, you're not allowed to eat it partially roasted. You're not allowed to eat it cooked. It has to be fully roasted. So, let's say you have the meat of the Karban Pesach that's not roasted. That's not fully roasted. Or, lach metoda shelo hormu. When it comes to your Karban Toda, you know that there are 40 loaves of bread. We also know that of the 40 loaves of bread, 4 loaves are given over to the Kohanim. It's like truma. Right? 10%. 10% is meister, but still, in other words, that is a portion that goes over to the Kohen. We also know that you're not allowed to eat the remaining 36 loaves of bread until you give the 4 loaves of bread over to the Kohen. Good. So, Rav Dimi Bar Chinana says that if I eat the meat of the Karban Pesach, which is not roasted, or if I eat the Lach Metoda where I didn't take off the 4 loaves of bread, I'm nevertheless going to be chayav for eating one in a state of tuma, assuming discussing a case, of course, with a person's tummy. Amar Rava Teda. So one more time, Rava says, "I like this. I like this. I'm going to buy into it. Right? It sounds right. Even though you understand right away, it doesn't sound right. Meaning these are karbanos that you're not allowed to eat." In other words, the isser of eating kodesh is only, you could argue, is only for karbanos that you're allowed to eat. These are karbanos that you're not allowed to eat. But again, Rava would like to defend this position. Ditanya asher lahashem lerabos imurei kashim kalam the tuma. We know the halacha is that if you're tameh and you eat the part of the animal that's supposed to go on the mizbeach, the diaphragm, the kidney, right? Any part of the carbon that's supposed to go on the mizbeach, and you eat it while in a state of tuma, you're going to be chayev. You're going to be eligible for kares. Not eligible, you're going to get kares. Right? That's an ister kares. So ama, so Rava says, so what do you see over here? Alpha gav delav b'nei achila ninu, chayav n'alei mishum tuma. So, okay, good, you see, these are not edible foods. No one is allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat the parts of the animal that go on the mizbeach, and yet we know, through a ribui, that if you do eat them while tummy, you're going to be chayav kares. Hakanami, afagav dalav bnei achila ninu chayav ala mishum tuma. And again, Rava says, I can make the same argument over here. Karban Pesach, that's not roasted. I know you're not allowed to eat it. You shouldn't be eating it. But if you eat in a state of tuma, you're going to be chayav kares. Why shouldn't it be different than the case of the imurim that you're not allowed to eat, and yet if you eat it, you're going to be chayav kares? Velohi. And again, for a third time, the Gemara says, now, I don't buy it. Hasam imuri kashim kalim chazal gavoa. And the Gemara says, no, they're not the same. When it comes to the Imurim, it is edible. Just happens to be that you're not the person supposed to eat it. The Mizbech is supposed to eat it. But it is edible. It is something that can be consumed, just not by you, by somebody else, or in this case, the Mizbech. In the case of a Karm Pesach that's not roasted, no one's allowed to eat it. The Mizbech's not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it. It's not Kodesh. It's not yet prepared Kodesh. So you can't, you can't compare. And the Gemara for a third time rejects Rava's argument. Hajan lach kol apsulim. That is the end of the third parak. Good. Okay. You had enough of pickle? I hope not. The I hope you're ready for more. Pickle, for whatever reason, plays a big role in the Masechta Zvachim. The third parak almost entirely discussed various aspects of pigel, and we're going to do a little bit more, but in a slightly different context. Beis Shammai Omrim, kol anitanim ha-mizbech ha-chitzon, shenasam b'matana achas kiper, uvechata shtei matanas. Okay. We get to the fifth parak, we're going to learn various karbanos need different applications on the mizbech, meaning that you talk about what's the essential part of every karban. It's the sprinkling of the blood. Right? That is the essential part of every karban. That after that point in time, there are mitzvahs to do, there's the consumption of the karban. But in other words, the real critical moment of every karban is the sprinkling of the blood. Karban is shechted, the blood is collected in a bowl, you walk the blood over to the mizbeach, and you sprinkle. How do you sprinkle? So it depends on the karban. So for a regular shlamim, you sprinkle only one time. For an ola, you sprinkle two times on two opposing corners of the mizbeach. For a chatas, you actually have to hit all four corners of the mizbeach. We get to the fifth parak, and the fifth parak discusses it at length. Okay, so good. So we know that you have a mitzvah of sprinkling sometimes one time, sometimes two times, sometimes four times. What's the minimum? What's the bare minimum? So Beis Shammai says that kol anitanim al mizbech achitzon shenasam b'matana achas kiper. So Beis Shammai says, generally speaking, one is the minimum. For most karbanos, one is the minimum. Even for a karban that requires two, one would be enough. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah is to do twice, but one would be enough in order to achieve kapara. Uvechatas, shtei matanas. When it comes to the karban chatas, or Beis Shammai is of the opinion that you have to do two. Two becomes the minimum. The Gemara later on will tell us how he got to that conclusion.
Two or four.
The rest of the procedures goes through.
Yeah, in other words, right.
Everything else will be done the same as before.
Well, right. You treat everything else the same. Everything else will be done the same.
The chattas is four?
Chattas is going to be four. Matana achas kiper v'chata shtei matanos u'beis Hillel omrim avchata shenina matana achas kiper. And Beis Hillel says, look, one is going to be your minimum. One will be your minimum throughout. Okay, good. Okay, and why am I telling you that this is all about pigle? It's all about pigle. I'm telling you. Lefichach. Therefore. In other words, now we know minimum requirements. According to Beit Shammai, it's two for a chatas. According to Beis Hillel, it's one for a chatas. Lefichach. Im nasan es rishona kitikna v'esa shnia chutzuzmana kiper. Therefore, after the first sprinkling of the blood, the rest is lemitzvah, but not leikuva. The sprinkling that's done after that is not an essential avoda. As we've been discussing for some time now, in order for it to be pigol, you have to have a machshava doing an essential avoda. So after you've done your minimum requirement, that's it. Anything after that is no longer an essential avoda. So keeper v'im nasan has to be shown a chutzus mana v'sashnei chutzim kama pigle, and it works. It works in your favor and it works against you. Right? The first case of the Mishnah is that works in your favor. How? Because if the first sprinkling was done without a bad machshava of chutzus mana, and the second one was done with a machshava of chutzus mana, we disregard the second sprinkling because it wasn't essential. Okay, so that's how it can work in your favor. It can work against you as well. Let's say, for example, harishana chutzus mana v'sashnei chutzim kama. Right, the first sprinkling that you did was chutzas mana, right, which sets it up for pigel. The second sprinkle that you did was chusim koma, Now, normally what we would say is tarovis. That's a mixture of machshavas. We know that you no longer are eligible for pigel. Here, it is pigel. Why? The Mishnah says it's pigel. The reason why is because whatever machshava you had after the first one, we don't care. It wasn't essential avoda. So even though it's true you had a chutz limkoma machshava during that second sprinkling, but the second sprinkling wasn't an essential avoda. Good. Kol anitanim amizbech apanima she'im chiser achas min ha-matanos ki'ilo lo kiper. Now, let's move to the inner mizbech. Sometimes sprinkling is done on the inner mizbech. Yom Kippur, Par Halam Davar, and the Par of the Kohen Gadol. Those chatas, and only those chatas, are sprinkled on the inner mizbech. Now the inner mizbech, and again, the Mishnah just tells us this, the psukim will come up later on, for the inner mizbech, you must hit all four corners. There's no choice. In other words, there's no minimum requirement, four corners or nothing. Right? So, if you don't eat all four, it's nothing. Lefichach. Once again, the Mishnah says, therefore. So, if you do all of them kitiknam, and one of them shelo kitiknam, so psul of ainbo karis, so it's possible, but however, there's not going to be karis. And the Gemara later on, we'll explain why there is no kares, meaning how come, right, Rashi over here explains, right, how come there's not going to be kares? So Rashi explains like this, Lefichach, hol v'kula matirin ein zem materis below zu, v'ein zem mifagelas below zu. V'im nasan kulan kiteknam, v'shtika v'achash lo kiteknam, kigon, sh'nasan b'machshevas chutzim, kama ol chutzim, zmano pasul, sh'lo nita b'rishonas, v'ein bo kares. How come there's no kares? Rashi goes on to explain. She'in ha'achrona mefagal to, de'kasavra ein mefaglin b'chatzi matir. There's a rule which we're going to, the Gemara is going to get into later and develop later, that if it's only a chatzi matir, if it's only part of a matir, there's no pigel by chatzi matir. In other words, the machshava has to incorporate the entire matir, the entire avoda. And by the inner mizbeach, since you need all four, so if your machshava is only one or two or three out of the four, that's only a machshava b'chati matir, and that's not gonna set you up for pigel. The carbon is disqualified, just not pigel. Okay, good. All right. So again, the Mishnayos over here in the fourth parak are still going to be focusing on pigel, but in a different context. In the context of what's the minimum requirement of sprinkling, and consequently, what is the minimum requirement of sprinkling, meaning, and then therefore, all other sprinklings that you do, all other zrikas that you do, are really not registered, and therefore won't affect the world of pigel.
What happened in fact? Let's say he took three, and he thought he would do the fourth later? Is this after the fact?
No. This is all. He did all of them. It's just a question of what machshava that he had when he did it. It's all an issue of machshava. It's
if he
all.
Actually did, let's say, the fourth one. What could he think otherwise?
No, he just did it.
He did all four of them, and one of them he did with a bad machshava. That's all. The Mishnah. He did it. He did it all. Right. Sorry. Tana Rabbanu Minayli Tana Mizbech Achitzan Shanasam Matana Achashi Keeper. Okay, so we start off the Gemara today with a very basic discussion. How do you know one? How do you know one is a minimum requirement? Where does that come from? So Tama Lamer V'Dam Zvachecha Yishafech. So the Gemara says Parshas Re'e. It's funny, of all the places, meaning most of the halachas of Karbanos are discussed in Vayikra and Sav, and okay, fine, Parshas Re'e. So the pasuk says over there, Dam Zvachecha Yishafech, the blood of your Zivachecha, your Karbanos, Yishafech, you should pour it. Now, the truth of the matter is that look up the pasuk and you see the pasuk contextually, and it's really talking about the Shirim, the remnants of the blood. Okay? Good. So, admittedly. However, the Gemara is darshaning out over here that you see from here that one sprinkling, one application is all you need as a base requirement. Okay, and what the Gemara will do now from here until the rest of today's daf is see whether or not this holds up. Meaning, does this drasha hold up? Is this the only thing that we're learning out from this pasuk? Don't we learn other things from this pasuk? So, stay with me. Okay, because the Gemara... Right? Because the inner mizbech, you need four. This drasha is only for the outer mizbech. That's absolutely correct. The Gemara says, wait a second, I need that pasuk for another drasha. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? The simple pshat in the pasuk is telling me that if I have any leftover blood after the application, it's poured down the foundation on the mizbeach. The Gemara says very clearly, that's what we learn now from this pasuk. Rashi says, top Rashi on the page, Lama Zayin Lama Aleph, Shekol Adam and Shekol Karbana Shetu'un in Matan Dam Liyasod, Im Nishar Min Adam Bekli La'achah Shazark Shtei Mat Nosav, after you do two applications, and Rashi is assuming we're talking about a Karbanola, Shetzarech L'shovcho Liyasod, Ve'af Api Shalonem HaShvich HaShiraim, Ela Bechatas, meaning that really, the only place in Chumash that you're going to find this idea of pouring the remnants is by the Chatas, meaning in Vayikra. Nevertheless, Perek Dalet, there is a mitzvah to pour all remaining bloods onto the Yisod, onto the foundation of the Mizbeach, and it's derived from this very pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. So Tamalam of Dam Zvechach Yishafech. So the Gemara says, fine. Nafkalei mi de Rebbe. The Gemara says, no. That halacha, that all shirayim, all leftover bloods, have to be poured on the mizbeach, onto the foundation of the mizbeach, is learned out from a different pasuk. The Detanya Rabbi Omer, v'hanisha b'dam yimatzei. She'en tam alam r'b'dam, ma tam alam r'b'dam, l'fi shlo lamanu ala nitam matan dal, shetun matan damim liyasod, shar damim minayim tam alam r'v'hanisha b'dam yimatzei. Right? The Gemara darshins it out from psukim in Vayikra. This is talking about the chatas ha'of. Chatas ha'of with a bird. Birds are different than animals. The whole avoda by a bird looks totally different. With a bird, what you do is you take your thumb. The kohen takes his thumb and presses into the back of the neck of the bird. This is what's called malika. After doing that, there's going to be a gush of blood. That first gush of blood you sprinkle onto the corners of the mizbeach. Good. Then what you do is a mitzvah called mitsui. Mitsui is squeezing out. You wring out in other words, the bird's in your hand already. Basically, you wring out the blood of the animal, and that is poured onto the base of the mizbeach. Okay? Fine. V'hanisha b'dam yimatzei, she'en tam alam r'b'dam. Here's what bothers the... Here's what the Brisa picks up on. It says, v'hanisha b'dam, the leftover blood you squeeze out. Of course the blood. What else are we talking about? Meaning in the context of the pasuk, it's clear that we're talking about the blood. Ma tam alam r'b'dam, l'fisha l'alamanu, alani tam ma'an dal shetunim ma'an damim, l'yaso shar damim minayin, tam alam r'v'hanisha b'dam yimatzei. The extra word dam is telling me that this is not just true regarding the bird chatas, it's true by every carbon. Fine. Good. So this is the source, this is where we learn that all leftover bloods are sprinkled onto the yisod of the mizbeach. The Gemara says, wait a second. You're telling me now that we have the pasuk of Dam Zvachecha Yishafech. You're telling me that that pasuk is teaching us that really the minimum requirement is one sprinkle and that's it. The Gemara says, what about the following braisa? Minayin l'nitanim b'zrika, shenasnam b'shficha yatsa. How do I know that if it requires zrika, and instead of doing zrika, I do a shficha, you're yotzei? Okay, just a little bit of background over here before we understand this braisa. Sometimes the Torah describes the application of blood through zrika, and sometimes the Torah describes it through shficha. Okay, it's not radically different than one another, but they're different. Zrika, Rashi explains. First of all, where does the Torah describe zrika? Rashi gives us a short list. Ola, Shlamim, Asham. By those karbanos, the Torah uses the word zrika. Dechziv behuv zarku. Okay? Right, when you read your Parsha Sola in the morning, so you'll notice the Torah says v'zarku sadam. You sprinkle the blood. Uvechor dechziv beves damam tizrok. Also the bechor as well. Okay, so you have a short list of karbanos where the mitzvah is to do zrika. Again, Ola, Shlamim, and Asham, and the Bechor. So for them you have zrika. And Rashi says, and what is that? V'chol zrika, I'm reading from Rashi. V'chol zrika meirachok mashma, shezorik minakli, lemizbeach lemirachok. Okay? And what zrika means is that you're a little bit of distance away from the mizbeach, and the mitzvah of zrika is to spritz. Schwitz, of course, is a technical term. That is what you do with the blood of your Ola, Asham, and Shlamim, and Bechor. Bechor is subcategory of Shlamim. Fine. Good. What if instead of doing Zrika, you do Shvicha? Shvicha, Rashi describes, Omid Eitzel HaYesod V'Shofech. That's being right next to the Yesod and pouring. Right, so there's no thrust, there's no sprint, there's no spritz. It's just a pour. The Gemara, and so the good. So you know now the application of bloods are different for Zrika and Shvicha. What if I interchange? Meaning it's something that required a Zrika, and I didn't do a Zrika, but I did a Shvicha. I did a steady pour on the Mizbeach. Yatsa. Okay, so I didn't do the mitzvah correctly, but I'm Yotzei. Tamalam v'dam zvachecha yishafech. Okay, the pasuk says dam zvechecha yishafech, and that's what we learn out from this pasuk. That even though the Torah says by your ola shlamim and asham you have to do zrika, from here we learn out that when it comes to all karbanos, if you do shficha, it's going to be good enough. Okay, fine. So again, this
shficha
is,
here would be on the mizbeach.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not
onto
the yisod.
I think it would be on the mizbeach.
Mishnah seemed to say it had to be one.
Right, but it doesn't say where. Okay, fine. So again, just in the context of the Gemara is bothered because we originally quoted this pasuk to teach us the rule of Beis Hillel, that one application is going to be your minimum. But the Gemara says, wait a second, over here we're learning out that that's not true. We're learning out that that Shvicha is acceptable even in a place where you need Zrika. That's the halacha we're learning out from this pasuk. And again, one of the fundamental assumptions going into this whole discussion of the Gemara is that you can't learn out two drushas from one pasuk. Okay, it's a fundamental assumption. So, Savalak Rabbi Akiva de Amr, so the Gemara says, okay, so I'll tell you that the Tana of our Mishnah is holding like Rabbi Akiva. Damar lo Zrika bechlal Shvicha v'lo Shvicha bechlal Zrika. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, no, they're not interchangeable. Zrika and Shvicha are not interchangeable. If the Torah requires Zrika, Zrika. If the Torah requires Shvicha, Shvicha. And the two cannot cross. How do I know that this is Shita's Rabbi Akiva? And here we're going to go to a great place. The last Mishnah in Pesachim. Last Mishnah. I did not. Right? Most people think last Mishnah in Pesachim is Afikomen. Right? There's a Mishnah after that. Dinan. Baruch Birchas HaPesach Pater Eshel Zevach Shel Zevach Lo Pater Es HaPesach Divrei Rabbi Yishmawa. Okay. Rabbi Kiva Amar Lo Zu Poter Zu Velo Zu Poter Zu. Alright, let's go through this Mishnah in Pesachim. Okay, when I eat a karban, I'm doing a mitzvah. Right? Especially if I'm eating karban Pesach, right, you're doing a mitzvah. Whenever you do a mitzvah, you gotta make a bracha. What bracha do I make when I eat a karban? So the bracha is going to be very specific. Rashi writes as follows: Baruch Birchas HaPesach Pater Shel Zevach. First of all, on Erev Pesach, what two karbanos are you eating? So one we know is of course the karban Pesach. The other one is called Chagigas Yudalid. Okay, just a little bit of background so you understand the Gemara. On the 14th day of Nisan, so there's no Chagiga. Right? Everyone understand? Chagiga is a carbon designated for Yantav. A Yantav comes around, every Yantav you have to bring a carbon Chagiga. Okay? That's a special carbon dedicated for Simchas Yantav. Chagiga and an Ola Thri'iya, but okay, fine. Chagiga is a Shlamim. On the 14th day of Nisan, it's not Pesach yet. Right? The Torah tells us that Yevas Mitzvah to Shech the carbon Pesach on the 14th so that I can eat it the night of the 15th. The eve of the 15th. However, Karban Pesach, let's say we have a large group, right? Let's say our entire Daf Yomi over here is going to eat one Karban Pesach. So all of us are going to get like a little piece. Everyone here needs a kezias, but we're all going to get one piece. That may not fill us up. So when we went through Pesach and we learned that in order to supplement, we have what's called the Chagigas Yedalin. It's not really a Karban Chagiga. It's just simply more shlamim that are brought on Erev Pesach so that if, in fact, we need supplementary meat, we're going to be able to eat the karban of the Chagigas Yedalin. So even though Rashi calls it Chagigas Yedalin, it really is fundamentally a karban shlamim. Okay? Rashi writes like this. Chagigas Arbas Asar Sheba Ima Pesach Kishahachabura Meruba. Right? The Chabur is it's a large group of people. Vishanina Batosafta the Pesachim, Ala Pesach Homer, Baruch Hashem Kisham and Safis Vivano, Lechol HaPesach. Now, what brachas are we going to be making? When we eat the Karma Pesach, the bracha is Hashem Kisham and Safis Vivano, Lechol HaPesach. I thought so. Right? He's going to add the word S. Lechol Es HaPesach. Ve'ala Zevach Homer, Hashem Kisham and Safis Vivano, Lechol HaZevach. Okay? Good. So now, if I make a bracha, by the way, which one do I eat first? The Chagiga Sidalad or the Karban Pesach? The correct answer is Chagiga Sidalad. I eat the Chagiga Sidalad first, so that because when I eat the Karban Pesach has to be eaten al hasova, which means that the Karban Pesach has to be eaten while I'm mostly full, like my tank is 3/4 full, so the Karban Pesach will make up my final eating of the evening. It's the Gemara says it's Lamashcha, the way the kings eat, not famished, not starving, not like how we're going to be eating tonight, our Friday night meal, but in other words, you're eating it where you are essentially full, but this is going to be your last meat of the evening. So first you eat your Chagigas Yudalid, and then you eat your Karm Pesach. So, Im Birech Ala Pesach Patar Es HaZevach. According to Rabbi Yishmael, your bracha on the Karban Pesach will pater the bracha that you have to make over the Zevach. Not the other way around. Ala Zevach lo pater to Pesach.
But you have to eat the Zevach first.
Huh?
You have to eat it first. So how can you make a bracha on the Pesach before you eat? You didn't eat
the... Right. That's an excellent point. Right, I'm not going to discuss it now, but that is an excellent point. Meaning, when are you making your bracha on your Karban Pesach? Before your Chagiga? Or maybe you're making it afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent point.
And you would have thought it's the other way around, that the more generic bracha would work on the...
Correct.
Pesach,
okay, good. So, right, yeah. Exactly. The Kasaka dachu v'psach enami achim efarsh de kasavar yishmal. Next Rashi. The kasavar yishmal zrika b'chlal shficha. Kedam al-el. Right, now... This is so interesting. Why is the bracha for your Pesach going to handle your Zevach? Right? And as Rabbi Tushma points out, it's counterintuitive. Right? The Zevach is a more generic bracha. So why is your Pesach going to handle your Zevach? Your bracha on Pesach going to handle the bracha on Zevach. Kedamar la'al minan l'nesina b'zrika, hanisana b'shvicha, yotza. Hilkach matan dam shlamim shekasav b'zrika, Bechlal matan dam pesach shekasav bashficha. So Rashi explains, and it's just a simple pshat in the Gemara. It's because when it comes to your carbon pesach has to be done. Bishficha pouring. Shlamim your chagigas yedalid zrika. Zrika is included in shficha. So the kedar min lakaman v'chi berech al pesach patos hazevach shehazevach b'chal pesach aval birech al hazevach lo patos hapesach shalom mitzenu l'nitan b'shvicha shikshem b'zrika. It doesn't work the other way. Interestingly enough, is that if the Torah demands shvicha, I can't do zrika. I have to do shvicha. Hilkach ein pesach b'chal shlamim. Interesting that the carbon pesach is not included in the shlamim. The bracha that I make over the Pesach is not going to cover my shlamim. My shlamim is done b'zrika. My Karban Pesach is done b'shvicha. I can get away by pouring my chagigas yudalit. I can't get away of spritzing my Karban Pesach. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Good. What does Rabbi Akiva say? No and no. Meaning, you must keep each bracha separate. The bracha over your Chagigas Yudalit will not cover your Karban Pesach. Your bracha over your Karban Pesach will not cover your Chagigas Yudalit. Rashi goes on to explain, the Laisla Nitanim Bezrika Shanasim B'Shvicha. Yasa, the Pesach B'Shvicha Mi V'Dams V'Chach Yishapech Nafkalan L'Kaman. V'Tartu Lo Darashim Mine. Good. And according to Rabbi Kiva, it's all about the fact that when the Torah says Shvicha means Shvicha and not Zrika. When the Torah says Zrika means Zrika and not Shvicha. And therefore, it has to be individual brachas. Right? It really is fascinating how the way that you apply the blood to the Mizbeach is going to define what bracha you make on it and tell us whether or not one bracha can incorporate the other bracha. Right? It's really... I don't fully understand it, but... Good. I got a ways to go. But still, you see that according to Rabbi Akiva, Shvicha and Zvicha are not interchangeable at all.
But the atonement would happen if you made a mistake.
According to Rabbi Akiva, no. According to Rabbi Akiva, if you apply the blood incorrectly, it's not good. So the Gemara says good. So now we know that. So now what we're saying is that according to Rabbi Akiva, Dam Zvachech Yishafech, he doesn't learn out the halacha of Shvicha and Zvicha are interchangeable. And if the Torah says Zvicha, really Shvicha is okay. He doesn't learn that. So good. So now we're left with Rabbi Akiva saying, what do we learn out from this pasuk of Dam Zvachech Yishafech? The halacha of that one application is good enough. Akasula, we'll do one more of these. Akasula hachidasa mi baile lechidetanya. Rabbi Shmuel Omer mitoch shenema ach b'chor shor b'chor kesef o b'chor eiz. Laman le b'chor shetam matan damim v'imur m'gabe mizbeach. We know that the b'chor requires an application of blood, and the b'chor requires imurim on the mizbeach. B'chor, of course, is the firstborn animal that is given to the Kohen. But the Kohen has to offer it on the mizbeach like a shlamim. Maiser u'pesach minayin tamar lomer v'dam zvechecha yishafech. So the Gemara and what about the Karban Pesach as well? What about the what about your Meiser Behema? How do I know that they also require blood application? How do I know that they also require Yimurim? Dam Zvachecha Yishafech. So the Gemara says, so you see that we've dedicated the pasuk of Dam Zvachecha Yishafech. Several like Rav Yosi Aglila, Detanya Rav Yosi Aglila Amer, Damolo Nemar El Damam, Chabolo Nemar El Chaban, Limit Abichor. Maser u pesach shetar matan damin v'imurim legabim mizbeach. So the Gemara says that halacha, that application of blood and imurim on the mizbeach for your pesach, b'chor, and maser is derived through other pesukim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, hai kram mafik le'lahachi, mafik le'lahachi. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Rabbi Shmuel is using a pasuk for two different halachas, trei tanai aliba de Rabbi Yishmael. And the Gemara says very simply, two tanaim aliba de Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, just a little bit more for today. Bishlam al Rabbi Yishmael demukim lakula bebechor haynu dichsi v'vasaram yiyalach. According to Rabbi Yishmael, where the entire pasuk is talking about the bechor, so then I understand it v'vasaram yiyalach. El Rabbi Yosi demukim lanami b'maiser Pesach. Maiser Pesach. Maiser Pesach balem achlele. What does it mean, uvisaram yiyelach? Uvisaram yiyelach means, and you, Kohanim, you get the meat. That's not true by the Karban Pesach. It's not true by the Karban, by Maiser Behema. Maiser Behema, the meat goes to the owner. So my uvisaram yiyelach, echetam v'echet balmom. So the Gemara says, no. The besaram yiyelach is going on two things. It's going on a tam and a balmom. Meaning, that when it comes to a bechor, let's say I have a bechor, and it develops a blemish. What do I do with it? I still give it to the Kohen. It still goes to the Kohen. Echetam echet ba'mum. Limit ha-bechor ba'mum sheniten le-Kohen. We know that the bechor ba'mum goes to a Kohen, even though it has a blemish. Shalom matzina le-bechor ha-Torah kula. We don't have this anywhere else in the Torah. Meaning there's nowhere else where we see that when they have a blemished animal, it's still dedicated, still earmarked. When it comes to the bechor, that's not true. Bechor is matnos kahuna. It's one of the gifts to the Kohen. And even as a ba'mum, it goes over to the Kohen. Okay.
And what do they do with?
And they eat it. Meaning, do they have to bring a? No, they just eat it. In other words, it's still matnas kohuna. Okay. I guess it's psulei mukdashim. Meaning that the only thing they can do is eat it. All right. So we started the Baruch Hashem. We started the fourth parak today. In the fourth parak, we got a basic machlokas between Rabbi Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. What's the minimum application of blood to the mizbeach? Beis Hillel is of the opinion that one is the minimum application for all karbanos. How does it affect us in the world of pigol? And the answer is that after the first one, since all other matanos are not essential, so any machshava that you have after the first one is just simply not regarded. Good, that's what we learned in the first Mishnah. How do I know that one is a minimum application? And that basically took us through most of today's Gemara. The Gemara starts off by saying it's Dam Zvachecha Yishafech. The Gemara says there seems to be other halachas learned out from the pasuk Dam Zvachecha Yishafech, and the Gemara tries to coordinate all the various opinions and how Dam Zvachecha Yishafech can in fact be the pasuk where we learn out that there's one minimum application of blood. Okay, everyone have an easy fast today, please, and a very good Shabbos.